Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And we are talking to you from the past.
Actually, it's spooky Christmas today. Amelia and I exchanged gifts.
Oh yeah, we did. But we were actually recording this 2 weeks ago, so you won't get delightful banter about current events, even though you've never gotten it before. This could have been the week.
You know, it might be interesting because the Area 51 raid is going to happen between now and when this airs. So believe it or not, we might have had some spooky banter.
Maybe we'll do something special for it.
Maybe we will. There'll be like a bonus episode.
Or a Facebook Live episode?
No.
A mini one.
I don't belong on camera.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do. So today, we are going over something very cool and interesting.
No, first I wanted to talk about the gift exchange.
Oh, okay.
So Amelia told me the other day, she's like, I got you a present. And I was all very excited. So we showed up here at the studio tonight, and I had actually stopped on my way in because I was shopping the other day, and I found some stuff that I thought was going to be very, very Amelia-friendly. The first thing was I had gotten a mango hair mask.
Yummy.
And I'm not really a hair mask sort of person.
But I sure am.
So that worked out for her. And she hands me this package, and I was so excited. I could see that it was a mug already. It was a mug with donuts on it.
Yummy.
And it's gigantic, so I don't have to go back to the coffee maker as many times in the morning, which is terrific. So I'm super excited about my new mug.
Yes, and I am super excited because Beth got me Halloween-themed leggings. And I love leggings, and I love Halloween. So there you go.
And thanks, Beth. You're welcome. They can also be used at times of year that are not Halloween. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah. Just because they have ghosts and candy corn and like cats and
jack-o'-lanterns.
they're not seasonally restrictive, right?
It's true.
I also stopped by Cane's Donuts on my way to my appointment earlier today, and I specifically asked them, do they have any vegan donuts? And they said no. And so I was like, aw. So I ordered two donuts and I ate them. I thought it would be mean to eat them in front of you.
Good story, Beth. Okay, but the point of that is Beth and I give each other gifts because we like each other a whole lot. Okay, so this week we're doing something cool, and that cool thing that we're doing right now is we are going over haunted lighthouses in the great state of Maine. So yeah, we've covered a lot of New England states so far, but we haven't done anything from Maine yet. Maine, the vacation state.
Yes.
Did you go on a lot of vacations in Maine growing up?
No.
I went on a lot of vacations in Maine growing up.
I went on vacation with you in Maine growing up.
Yes.
Your parents brought me to be the babysitter.
Yes. My parents love Maine. Yeah. And I think it's okay too.
Okay. I don't know. I always think of Maine as like, I just want to go home.
Oh, Maine's cool. Maine has a lot of cool stuff. Maine has a lot of history. What are you talking about? You're a history buff.
I know, but every time somebody takes me to Maine, I end up like out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, that's Maine, baby.
And no, in the middle of the woods is not where I belong. I'm like 4-star hotel. I want like breakfast served.
Hold on. No, you do go to Maine a lot because your mother's partner has a home in Maine.
And how often do you ever hear about me going there?
You go more often than I do.
I don't go there.
Oh.
It's like out in the middle of the woods and...
It's beautiful though.
It is. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
It's right on a lake and lots of people absolutely adore going there, but I'm not one of them.
The few times I've been, I saw a moose. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing moose.
Brendan saw a bear there one time.
That's wild. And we saw a naked man holding a gun one time. That was pretty weird.
I'm sorry, what?
That was pretty weird.
Like on the road into the house? Or?
Nope, next door neighbor.
Oh, Clayton.
I guess.
Okay.
He was there, and he was naked and holding a gun.
He must not have known you were there.
He did not know we were there.
Okay, yeah.
When he was at Michael's. Yeah, and one time my brother and I, we woke up, we heard a noise, and we woke up. We were teenagers, and we looked, and there was a bat flying at my face. And so we spent the evening getting the bat out of the house, which is like perfect Maine, middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not really a Maine fan. Sorry. Wildlife, bats, nope, no interest. I'm sorry. I don't want to swim in any lakes. I don't want to climb through the underbrush.
No, I appreciate nature. I like some nature.
I know you do.
Yeah, it's good for your chakras.
I'll believe you on that.
Yes.
I prefer to go to cities.
Not as good for your shoppers.
It's good for my sightseeing.
Okay. Beth loves a good tour bus.
Beth does not love a good tour bus. I just want to say, Beth.
Whenever you go places, you always send pictures of tour buses.
When I was in Ireland, I had a picture on Instagram every day of me on a bus, but only one of them was actually a tour bus. The rest of them were just like regular city buses as I drove around. I could tell you my really long story about how I got the front seat on the tour bus, but it's not really ghost related.
Yeah, I think instead we should talk about lighthouses that are haunted in Maine. So here we go. First story.
Am I up first?
Yeah.
All right. So the first story that I want to talk about is actually the Seguin Island Lighthouse. So the Seguin Island Lighthouse is in Maine. It was built in 1796, so right at the end of the American Revolution. It's the highest lighthouse in the state of Maine. It rises 186 feet above sea level. It is the most fogged-in lighthouse in New England. 30% of all the days, there's fog at the lighthouse that you can't actually see out into the harbor.
But you can see the light, right? That's why they put a lighthouse there.
That's why there's a foghorn. Oh. And it has one of the largest and loudest foghorns in existence. There was also a whole bunch of other information about the actual lens light that's in there that's apparently special, but I don't really know anything about lighthouse lenses. So if anybody does and they want more information, Seguin, Seguin. Island Lighthouse in Maine.
Amelia. Is it Seguin or Seguin?
I would say Seguin.
Possibly Seguin.
It could be, but I'm thinking of Tyler Seguin, the Bruin, and that's how you spelled his name and said his name.
Okay.
So, there are two pretty decent stories from Seguin Island Lighthouse. The first involves Old Captain. So, the very first lighthouse keeper, his name was Major John, I could say it in my head, Polarecki. Polerczky.
I have no idea.
She was making a valiant attempt there. She was moving her mouth as though she was going to try for it.
Yeah, I almost did. And then I said, no.
All right. So Major John Polerczky. And he was the lighthouse keeper from its opening in 1796 until he died there in 1804. His salary was absolutely pitiful. He didn't make enough to actually live on. And he had to have his brother move out there at one point in order to, like, help him financially with, like, living, like, bringing food, all that stuff. So the brother's wife came and lived there, and they had a baby while they were living there. But Major John did not actually bring his own family out there because his wife and his brother's wife didn't get along. So it was a very interesting sort of dynamic. He dies there. He's penniless. He just drops dead one day, 1804. He's a pretty old guy at that point. He had fought in the American Revolution. But he was born in France. He was like a fancy titled noble or something. And so he came to the Americas for the American Revolution. He may have gone back to France and then come again for when the French Revolution broke out. He has been reportedly seen walking up and down the stairs for many years, that visitors to the lighthouse will come and they'll just see this old figure going up and down the stairs in his old lighthouse keeper outfit, yellow jacket, pants, the whole deal.
What is up with ghosts loving staircases?
I don't know. They like to move around a lot.
I feel like we get a lot of stories about ghosts on stairwells.
It's entirely possible.
It is possible. We do get those. I'm wondering why.
I don't know why.
I don't know either. If you know why, please send us a note.
Maybe it's the confined area of the stairwell that makes them more noticeable.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
And because usually the stairway is fairly narrow and enclosed.
Maybe because the stairways are made out of naturally found rocks in like a small area, like natural materials. And so you get stone tape theory there. That's why it's always people walking up and down and interacting with people.
I don't know. I'm thinking back to my own staircase experience and not rock, just plain old drywall.
Did you see a ghost there? You didn't see a ghost there.
No, I didn't see one.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying people see ghosts walking up and down stairs.
With rocks?
No, I'm saying if you were to see a ghost and it's just walking up and down the stairs and interacting with people, that would be like a stone tape theory phenomenon.
Okay.
So at that time period, they would have been made out of stone.
Most likely, yes.
So I'm saying that could be one reason why.
Okay. Yes. Fair enough. Back to my notes. So in 1985, the lighthouse was automated, and this is actually one of the more famous stories about Old Captain. The lighthouse gets automated, and a couple of months later, the crew comes in to clean out all the furniture and remove all the stuff from the lighthouse because nobody needs to be there anymore. They just send somebody out twice a year to change the bulb, right? So it takes the crew a couple of days to put everything together and get it all set out to go. So they're overnight there, the night before everything's all ready to go. And the supervisor of the crew is dead asleep in bed. And he wakes up to being shaken awake by an old man he's never seen before, standing there, hovering over him in his, like, lighthouse outfit, his pants and his jacket and everything. And the old man says to him, "Please leave my furniture alone. Don't take my furniture. Leave my home alone." And the supervisor's like, well, that was a weird dream. And so the next morning they finish packing everything up and they put it all in a boat and they have to lower the boat over the cliff down into the water. And mysteriously, as they are lowering the boat, the cable snaps and all the furniture and all the belongings from the lighthouse fall on the rocks below and smash into oblivion.
Spooky.
Very.
And unfortunate.
I mean, don't ignore the ghost when the ghost comes and says, like, "Leave my stuff alone," right?
Yeah, no one gets the stuff.
Well, no one gets the stuff, and
the ocean gets the stuff.
There are more recent stories of hauntings by the old captain there at the Seguin Island Lighthouse. The usual stuff: your cold spots, your bodiless voices or coughs, the opening doors, things that you put down, like you turn around and suddenly they're missing. But the thing that connects it the most back to old captain is that if anybody working there, the volunteers, try to move any of the furniture, when they come back the next day, the furniture is put back in its original position. So old captain John Polarecki is very connected to where his furniture already lives in the lighthouse.
Seems a little neurotic.
Maybe, but, you know, old men are entitled to their eccentricities.
Maybe he was a lighthouse worker, but what he really wanted to do is be an interior designer.
Maybe. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, that was like his passion.
I really don't think so, but maybe.
Maybe, yeah. You have all your passions in life, or else that's what you end up doing for all of eternity.
Is that a true statement?
No.
No. Okay.
Speculation.
All right. Fair enough. You're allowed to speculate.
Yeah.
It's a ghost hunting podcast.
There you go.
All right.
Good story, Beth.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah. I'm really drawn to the lighthouse stories because obviously you know this and people that like really know me in real life know this, but I would think that most of the podcast audience does not, that I am an avid and active sailor and I just so enjoy the ocean and being on the water and all of the nautical stories that come with stuff. And so that's one of my goals is to have eventually bring someone in who talks a lot about nautical hauntings, ghost ships and such. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to find somebody who knows a lot about those.
I don't know anyone. I do know someone, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. At a Hull, when you go into the Hull Haunted Tour, they know all about that stuff.
Do you mean John Galuzzo?
I have no idea who that is.
He's the guy that does that tour.
It was run by a lady.
Oh. Interesting.
Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa, if you're listening to our podcast, hit us up.
All right. I'd like to have John on here some night, too.
Okay.
He has lots of fun Hull ghost stories. All right. Take it away, Amelia.
So, Beth, what I'm going to talk about is Wood Island, located in Saco Bay. Have you been to Saco, Maine?
I may have driven through it at some point.
Lovely.
Is that where Oceanwood is? That's what I associate Maine with, Oceanwood Camp.
Oceanwood's a lot of fun. I almost died on a horse there. That wasn't fun. But the rest of Oceanwood, I really enjoyed. For those of you who don't know, Oceanwood is an American Baptist camp located in Maine.
Yeah, it's Bible camp.
It's Bible camp. But it's cool Bible camp. It's not like scary Bible camp. Why are you making that face? It's not scary.
What kind of Bible camp is scary?
Are you kidding me? You haven't heard about the Jesus camps in like other states?
No.
No, it's not all fun and gimp and rock and roll bands and hanging out having fun with your buddies.
Oh, okay. It's like, I hated camp.
Oh, I loved camp.
Oh, I didn't like to be away from my home.
Loved camp.
They made me stay up too late.
Okay, so Wood Island has a lighthouse. And you want to know what it's called, Beth? Don't try to look through my paper.
Yes.
It is called the Wood Island Lighthouse.
No way!
Yes way!
Oh.
The lighthouse was constructed in 1808 under the directive of President Thomas Jefferson. The tower rotted out by 1830, though, you know, that doesn't...
You know, people talk about how back in the day, like, they knew how to build stuff.
I know, that's not that long.
Except I have a story similar to that as well.
I'm older than that. Okay, it doesn't matter. So, it rotted out by 1830 and was replaced by Granite Tower in 1839. Also, it took a while to build stuff back then, I guess, because that's 9 years later. Okay. In 1858, the Keeper's Dwelling was built and still stands to this day. It is a white cone-shaped lighthouse, 47 feet high, and is the second oldest lighthouse in the state of Maine, added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1988. According to historic records, a gruesome murder-suicide took place there in the 1890s. And I found some places that said 1896, but mostly said the 1890s, which makes me think maybe 1896 isn't exactly right.
Okay. Seems like a fair deduction.
Yeah. A drunken fisherman was squatting on the...
Oh, man. The best stories always start with, so the drunken fisherman.
Yeah, this is a sad story. But this drunken fisherman was squatting on the west end of the island and was involved in a fight. He was eventually located and confronted by the sheriff's deputy, who went to the squatter's shack on the island. Some accounts said that the fight was over, like, a chicken coop, but some people said it was over, like, a robbery, and so... I don't really know what the fight was about. I don't think anyone really does.
Now, are we talking like a fist fight? Are we talking a gunfight? Are we talking about two guys yelling at each other across the street?
I don't know.
Well, you said you didn't know what the fight was about, but I'm talking about, like, was it like a physical fight? Was it, you know, that YouTube video where the two guys are, like, giving each other the finger from other sides of the street very aggressively?
I have not seen that, but I would like to. You can show me after.
Okay.
The squatter murdered the sheriff's deputy by shooting him in the abdomen and quickly became guilt-stricken that he had killed the married father of three. He ran to the lighthouse and tried to turn himself in to the lighthouse keeper, Thomas Orcutt.
Who turns themselves into the lighthouse keeper? That doesn't even make any sense.
A drunk fisherman.
It's not like the lighthouse keeper is any sort of authority figure.
Well, he just killed the authority figure.
But it all...
This is Saco, Maine in the 1890s. How many people lived up there? How many people live up there now?
No, I don't know.
Right. So, you know, he was a man of great authority. He ran the lighthouse.
We would make terrible attorneys. We ask all these questions and we don't know the answers.
Or we just then start making up our own answers. Orcutt was so alarmed by the ordeal that he turned the squatter away. The squatter was so overcome, he shot himself in the head with the same gun he had used to take the deputy's life. Legend has it that the ghost of the murdered deputy still haunts the lighthouse. Moans are heard coming from a nearby chicken coop shack owned by the deputy. And locked doors have been mysteriously opened at the lighthouse. Dark shadows have been observed near the lighthouse walkway at the top of the tower. And strange voices have also been heard. There have also been sightings of a woman, believed to be the deputy's wife, that haunts the lighthouse to this day. In 1905, lighthouse keeper Charles Burke took over for Orcutt. Soon after taking the position, Burke became so distraught, believing he was seeing and hearing ghosts. One evening, the spooky disruptions became so bad, he left his post at Wood Island Lighthouse unattended and stayed overnight at a boarding house on the mainland. He awoke the next day and jumped from one of the home's third-story windows. Ba-da-da!
That's like 30 feet. I mean, that's like a broken leg.
Oh no, it killed him. He died.
He jumped head first?
Maybe. Don't know. Didn't ask. But you know who might have asked?
An attorney who was going to ask that question?
The New England Ghost Project, when they investigated in fall of 2005. They were invited there to investigate the island and the lighthouse area. Shadowy figures were observed and recorded near the lighthouse and walkway. A medium was brought in, and the spirit, believed to be that of the drifter, was apologizing through the medium's trance. Another spirit, believed to be the deputy, made her feel as if he were severely injured and trying to get away from something. Wood Island Lighthouse Foundation now holds special events related to the hauntings to benefit the lighthouse restoration efforts. So if you are near the Saco Bay area, that could be something fun to do this October.
Or September. Or November. It could be fun anytime.
I don't know if they do it year-round.
Well, okay, fair enough. But I suppose you could just go out there and check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in the Saco, Maine area. Yes. And take some pictures, and by all means, send us an update on how it went for you.
They have a lot of loons there. I like loons a lot. I think they're cool birds. In my research of this haunted area, they said there were a lot of loons.
I'm still stuck on the fact that there are shadowy figures. I like how it says that it doesn't say that it's shady figures that they saw. And now you're talking about loons and...
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Okay. I like loons.
You're your mother's daughter. You guys love birds.
I love birds.
It's okay. Sean loves birds too.
Birds are really nice. They're pleasant. I'm not like crazy like my mom though and like do overboard with the birds. Not that she does overboard, but my mom can do like every bird call under the sun.
That's impressive.
Yeah. She and my father are avid birders.
Yes.
They love it. That is their joy of life.
Bird people.
Big bird people.
Big bird people.
No, they are. Should I tell the story about the stuffed bird in my living room growing up?
Is it haunted?
It's a Wacky Abbey story and it's something dead.
Go for it.
Okay. So when I was in middle school and I was trying to be a little vegetarian and later I became a big vegetarian. But this rough grouse came and flew into our front door at my parents' house. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she was in the kitchen and she heard it hit the front door. And she went out and cradled it in her arms. And I guess it had broke its neck when it hit the door and it died in her arms. And she said she felt the spirit of the animal like within her. And she felt like this really big connection with the bird. Yeah.
That sounds exactly like something that would happen with your mom.
Yeah. So it did. And again, she was like a stay-at-home mom and we were at school. My dad was at work. So my mother took it upon herself to bring it to her taxidermist.
Because your mom has a taxidermist.
Of course she does. Yeah. And had it brought there because she wanted it stuffed so she could like remember this beautiful creature in all of its glory. But what it sometimes happens at taxidermists, what do they give people from animals?
Lice?
Nope.
I don't know.
The meat from the bird.
Gross.
Which my darling mother, in all of her glory, used to cook in stir fry for my, well, we can call him Uptight, my Uptight father, and my little brother. So I will never forget this as long as I live. We were eating dinner one night and my dad goes, oh my gosh, Abby, this is like one of the best stir fries you've ever made. And she goes, thanks, Warren. It's the rough grouse. And my father was so like overcome. Like he just like didn't even know how to respond. I just remember him putting his fork down, staring like deadlocked eyes with my mother, getting up, leaving the dinner table, walking to his car, and just driving away. Could not even be at the house at that time. And so to this day, we have this rough grouse that just sits by their TV like all the time. It's just always there. Whenever people come over, they're like, what is that crazy bird in your parents' house? And that's the story of my mom's rough grouse.
I love it. I could just totally see your dad's face.
Do you want to take a quick break before the next story?
Yes, we'll be right back after these messages.
All right, did we get the giggles out? Are we ready for another story?
Are we ready to come back from our commercial?
Here we go.
All right. So we're going to actually return back to Seguin Island Lighthouse for the second of the haunted stories from Seguin Island Lighthouse. So this is a legend that supposedly happened in the mid-1800s. You'll all remember the Seguin Island Lighthouse. I talked about it at length earlier. But in this particular story, there is a young caretaker and his young wife who moved to the lighthouse. As a young wife, she wasn't ready for the isolation that comes with being a lighthouse wife, and she fell into a really like deep depression. And her husband, who loved her dearly, wanted her to be okay on the lighthouse property and wanted her to stay with him, so he decided that he would get her a piano.
That's a nice gift.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it's a really nice gift.
Oh, and like, so she wanted a piano. He got her a piano. In my mind, though, I'm thinking like, because having two boys myself, like, would I ever under any circumstances get them a drum set?
No.
Right. And I kind of feel the same way about this guy getting his wife a piano.
No, piano's lovely.
So he orders the piano and he has it shipped out to the island. And it takes him quite a few attempts and maneuvers to get the piano off the ship, across the island, and up into the lighthouse keeper's quarters. So it's there in the quarters. And the wife is just thrilled. But it's getting to be wintertime, and they find out that there was only one piece of music that came with the piano. and the wife can read music, but she can't play anything without the music. And so those of you that are musically inclined, I'm sure you know the difference, but not everybody can just sit down and like jam.
I'm the same way.
You can read music, but you can't just play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a classically trained flautist, and I can play the flute all day long. Play the flute till I drop, but I can't come up with flute music. I got a D in jazz band because I couldn't do like improv solos.
Yeah, that seems fair enough.
Yeah. But I did really well in orchestra camp.
Bible camp, orchestra camp, stuffed grouse, all sorts of
stuff. Wild childhood.
Okay, so the one piece of music that happens to be included with the piano is a piece by Scott Joplin, and it's a ragtime tune. So the wife gets to work practicing day and night. And so for those of you that aren't familiar with what a Scott Joplin ragtime tune sounds like, here it is. That's just a sampling. So she starts playing this song, and she practices it day and night and day and night, and winter sets in, and she practices it day and night, and no ships can come out to the island at this point because it's all iced in, and she's practicing this day and night, and she's determined to master it. And so the days turn into weeks and months, and the long isolation paired with the constant playing of that song. The caretaker snaps. He walks outside and he grabs the wood chopping axe from the pile and comes in and proceeds to chop his wife's piano to smithereens.
I thought you were going to say chop his wife to smithereens.
And as the wife tries to reason with him and stop, stop, please, he loses it and he chops her to smithereens as well.
Ooh, I was right.
You were right. I was trying to build to that.
Yeah, sorry.
As he calmed down a bit, the reality of what he has just done sets in. He's now killed his beloved wife, and he can't bear the guilt. So he ends up going off shortly thereafter and killing himself. So now here's where the ghost part comes in. There is often, by caretakers, by visitors, by mariners, anybody who's going by, they will hear this piano music just being played out of nowhere. And they'll go into the quarters and there's no one there. They can't hear the music anymore. Mariners will actually hear it out on the water. Like the wind will blow this piano music by them and they hear it playing. So it's the stone tape theory.
That's creepy.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
And there
that's creepy music. Like in that context.
There have also been reports of people seeing a ghostly figure walking across the island carrying an axe, like walking with that trudging purpose, like he's just lost his mind and is on his way in to chop up his wife's piano.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's the story of the axe murder at Seguin Island. And also Seguin Island Lighthouse, you can visit there by ferry. So if you wanted to go and catch the ferry out there and see if you could hear the ragtime music playing, go for it. Let us know how it works out.
Good story, Beth.
Thanks.
Do you have any other stories?
I do have one more story. Do you have any other stories?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I have another story, but it's not a lighthouse. I like our lighthouse theme.
I like the lighthouse theme,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's just go to yours.
All right. So the last lighthouse story that we have is from Pemaquid Lighthouse, also in the great state of Maine. So Pemaquid Lighthouse was built in 1827 and then rebuilt in 1857. It was automated in 1934. It was actually the first lighthouse in Maine to be automated. And in 1972, the quarters were converted to a fisherman's museum, and they did major restoration and renovations in 2007. So like you were talking about earlier with your lighthouse that lasted 30 years and it had to be rebuilt, I'm kind of wondering, were the original ones built out of wood? And the salt air just...
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know what the original wood this was built out of.
But... Oh, I'd say mine probably, because they said it rotted.
Yeah, oh, so I think that the salt air, and then they come back 30 years later and decide to build one out of stone, which stands up a little bit better with the weather. So the Pemaquid Lighthouse actually has a long history of having shipwrecks there at the lighthouse, even before the lighthouse was built. Apparently, there's some sort of like really nasty type of stone there, and the geological formations as they go out into the water have been a real problem for ships since the, quote, discovery of the New World. I believe that one of the earliest noted shipwrecks off the point there is in 1635. It was a British ship coming across. In September of 1903, there were actually two vessels that sank in the same storm right off the lighthouse. And of the first vessel, there were 15 crewmen and a captain on board, and 13 of the crewmen and the captain all died in that storm. The other two managed to wash up on shore, and the other boat, no one survived the wreck. In an interesting coincidence, though, the man who went and interviewed the two survivors from that wreck, his body like mysteriously was found dead on the same beach exactly 45 years later to the day. And there was no explanation for how he died. It was apparently a very sudden death.
Spooky.
Yeah. In the lighthouse keeper's quarters, specifically here, there is a woman in a red shawl who sits in front of the fireplace. She's shivering. She's soaking wet. She's in like period dress from the 1800s, and she just stares silently at the fireplace. So she's called the Iconic Woman, and she just hangs out and waits. And so there's some speculation. No one knows exactly who this woman is, but the speculation is that she is the wife or the girlfriend or something of one of the sailors who was lost off the point, and she's just there waiting for him. One of the other ideas is maybe she was actually involved in one of the shipwrecks, and she managed to make it to shore and then sits trying to dry herself off in the fire. But I think that's very scary to come down and there's just this wet lady sitting there staring at the fire.
That's really sad.
Would you like to go and stay there at night?
I can stay there. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You can.
I like Maine.
I think we established that.
Yeah.
You can actually rent out the Pemaquid Lighthouse. It's $1,200 to rent it for a week. It's a one bedroom, one bath. There's one queen bed plus a pullout sofa, and you could hang out there and wait to see if the lady in the red shawl, the Iconic Woman, shows up.
I'd do that. Yeah, that sounds romantic.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that it's an absolutely lovely place. It's not actually on an island, though. It's just on a point, so you can drive right out there.
That's great, because I don't like being on boats.
Are you sure you're one of our family?
I'm deathly allergic to the ocean. And no, I'm not sure.
I think you're from the other side of the family.
I was going to say, I'm a child through and through. Yeah, there's no confusing that.
We're all boat people. Sorry. That's it for my lighthouse stories.
That's
from Maine for this week.
Yeah. Good stories.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Lighthouse stories are fun.
Yeah. Lighthouses are romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
friend Kat, the one who has Don't Take Pictures, and you can buy her magazine at donttakepictures.com, which I wrote a story about ghosts and museums. She is from Maine, and she grew up right next to a lighthouse.
Nice.
And she lived on a boat for a year.
Did it have a ghost?
No.
Oh, well.
Maybe, actually. I don't think so. I feel she would have told me about that by now.
Maybe. Maybe it was a terrifying ghost, and she blocked it out.
No, I don't think so. If it was a terrifying ghost, we've been very good friends for 12 years, so I think, being that I do this, she'd probably be like, oh, by the way.
All right.
There was a really scary ghost.
Yeah. All right, cool. We have anything else we want to talk about this week?
Are we going to do stories?
Of course we're going to do a story.
Okay.
Have a look at this.
And you know what that sound clip means?
Donut time?
Oh, you didn't get me a donut, remember?
They didn't have any vegan donuts. No. I even asked if the other location had vegan donuts, and she said, unfortunately not.
It's fine. Anyway, the sound clip means Daniel's story time. Let's go.
I rented a unit in an inner suburb for a couple of years, and what initially started as the feeling of someone constantly standing just behind my right shoulder turned into some seriously freakish events that would have made people think they were going crazy or scared them if it wasn't for the fact that they had a funny side and never harmed anyone. Literally, a person could put a mug on the bench to make a hot drink, turn around to pick up the kettle, and 2 seconds later turn around to find the mug gone, sometimes turning up elsewhere in the house or back in the same spot later in the day. A friend visiting slept over in the spare room one night and called out to ask why I was standing in the doorway. He could tell by the sound of my voice that I was sitting in bed in the next room, and he asked who it was then and I informed him it was the resident ghost who meant no harm. One day, after calling the ghost Fred for ages, I decided I needed to find out who he was. I stood in front of a 1 meter square mirror that was dirty and greasy, shocking ventilation in the living area, not my laziness, and told him he could freely use my energy to try and write his name in the mirror. 5 minutes of staring at the mirror and nothing happened, but I turned away for a couple of seconds to look at the time, and when I turned back, there in the bottom right of the mirror, clearly written in cursive like it had been done with a finger, was the name Jake, and in places the letters had scratched into the glass.
Wow. Spooky. That's very spooky.
I asked the people upstairs if they knew of anyone ever dying in the unit, and they said that yes, a young man died of a drug overdose in the first year they lived there. He died in front of the bathroom door, where most sightings of him were made by other visitors. They said he was a lovely man, hilarious sense of humor, always playing pranks on friends, and his name was Jake.
Oh, wow.
The friend that slept over and I went back to visit about 18 months after I moved out, and the new tenant opened up about weird events when we asked him about it. We said to just call him Jake, and rest assured he will cause no harm and never hides full cups.
Spooky. Good story, Daniel. Another good story. I like it.
And I'm very glad that your ghost didn't hide full cups on you. I would be mad if I made like something to drink and turned around and it was gone.
Yeah, that'd be annoying.
Very much so. That would be a harmful ghost, especially if we were talking coffee in the morning.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'd be having it out with that ghost.
Yeah.
And by having it out, I mean I would be moving somewhere else.
So, Beth.
So, Amelia.
I got something cool to tell you about.
Oh. Okay.
Related to Daniel and his stories.
All right. Go for it.
Did you know Daniel is recording a story for us?
Yes! Thank you, Daniel.
With sound effects.
Nice.
He's doing full production on this story, and we should have it by Halloween.
Awesome.
Yes, I can't wait.
How long do you think it'll be?
I have no idea.
Do we have to do an episode that week, or can it just be the Daniel show?
We'll find out. Daniel, I know you're listening, so if you want to make it really long,
yeah,
have at it.
We could, like, introduce you and then just let you, like, run wild with it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. That's very cool. I'm very excited.
I knew you would be.
Okay. How did you know he's sending that to us?
Because he sent me a message on Facebook.
I feel left out.
What? You have the login information for the account too, Beth.
What did he... What?
He sent it to our Facebook.
In the Messenger or in, like, the...
In the Messenger.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I'm just me in Messenger.
It's whatever.
I don't know how to use the internet.
Me either. It's okay. All right. Should we keep going?
Yes. I think that I have another story in here.
We gotta call the aquarium or something, dude.
And you know what that sound clip means. Time for another spooky story. From New England, told out of Arizona. Did I hear that this is going to be a Zoomass story?
This is going to be a Zoomass story.
And it's so educational.
We're
singing that song from the Pixies.
Okay.
This is UMass. Whatever, it's fine. It's a good song. Oh. I didn't do it justice.
Okay.
I'll play it for you later.
You sounded vaguely like Alice Cooper, though.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. In spring 2000, I lived in a dorm at UMass Amherst. Cashin in the Northwest dorms. Those were no man's land in the 90s. Drug deals, stabbings. One end the nefarious trail across a wooded part of campus, and suicides. These were the dorms that suicides happened. Of all the gnarly stories that happened to me when I was at UMass, my one semester living on campus, I got the haunted suicide suite. Okay, I'm one of those Western Mass punks, kind of hippie but into death metal. My dorm mate, a red-faced bro from Southie, accent as thick as an Adam Sandler character. He was all right. He moved out the first week. I was putting up Crass and Nausea posters, and he put up a St. Pauli Girl poster.
Oh, man, did you ever listen to Crass?
No.
Oh, they're a great band. I love that you just said that. All right, keep going.
It would have been a different experience. The weekend he moved out, I was cleaning up, rearranging, hanging my posters on the concrete, and I sat down to rest and looked up at the ceiling. I looked up and saw a bunch of little circles where the paint was torn off the plaster, like from those stick-on hooks everyone uses when they plan to move in 6 months. Being my morbid self, I immediately started thinking about how many of those it would take to hang myself from. How much weight can they hold, etc. And then I suddenly felt just not alone. Like there was just someone else in the room with me. So I got up to stretch my legs and say hi to my suite mates. A suite at this dorm is a cluster of about four rooms with a shared bathroom and a common room. There were like four or five suites in the hall. I see my neighbor sitting in the common room with a girl from across the hall. They had been flirty right off, and the conversation seemed heavy. I thought it was a really fast breakup conversation. I poked my head in, said hello, felt the heavy air, and excused myself. My neighbor said I had better sit down and hear what he was just told. The previous semester, a kid had hung himself in that room. Not mine. I was just next door. But he liked to visit me anyway. And of course, UMass just moved everyone except one guy out and never mentioned anything to the incoming group of kids. We all moved in during January. We looked at the pipe the kid used. It hadn't even been repainted. The rope marks were still there. Sorry, this just got gory. All right, this is getting longer than I anticipated, and I've got plans tonight. Let me know if you want part two.
God bless you, Mike.
Yes, Mike. Yes, we want part two.
Yes, we want part two, but we also want you to party. So, I mean, when you get some time, send us over part two.
Yeah, definitely. And he says, not for nothing. I'll be back in Massachusetts for a weekend in September. If you want to scope some of these spots, capital, let me know.
Word. And right. Also, I just want to say, because I feel like you should when you have podcasts and stuff, if you for any reason feel really sad or like a ghost is trying to possess you and make you hurt yourself, the National Suicide Prevention Helpline is 1-800-273-8255, or you can chat with them online. Don't let a ghost possess you into hurting yourself. That's really, really bad.
That might be like the most depressing thing that you've talked about on here.
Well, I just feel like it needs to be said, so I'm saying it. I think it's important. You don't want someone, one of our listeners getting possessed by a ghost and hurting themselves. If you feel possession coming on,
then by all means, we should not do a Ouija board thing on the air here because we would have to take responsibility for that if anything were to happen to anyone who happened to have listened ever.
Oh, we would never do Ouija boards on air. Never, ever.
Oh, you didn't?
Just like George Norrie.
I did listen to the rest of the episode.
I appreciate that. All right. So is that it for this week? We're in the past. We're way in the past. So we don't have 5-star reviews for this week because we're way back.
I think we did get a couple of reviews. But I just think that we didn't have the comments on those reviews. So I believe that we're up into the 30s on our 5-star reviews now.
We are. We got some comments, but we're reading them on last week's episode because we're way in the past.
If you say so.
Yeah, so I don't want people to like feel left out, like they left it and like, why aren't they reading it? Because we're in the past. We haven't seen it yet.
We have seen it.
We're going to time warp into the future.
Yeah.
You hear this, we've read it. I check it like 9 times a day. Please leave something there for me to look at. And oh my gosh, please don't leave us a 1-star review. If you don't think our show deserves 5 stars, send us a private message on Instagram, Facebook, you can email us, whatever. But we'd love to see some more 5-star reviews, so please feel free to leave them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you do reviews on Spotify or?
I don't think so. I don't know how Spotify works.
So my sister was telling me that she actually has listened to our podcast now, but she listens through Spotify.
A lot of people listen to Spotify.
Okay. So if you're listening on Spotify, thank you.
Thanks.
But can you also go into the Apple Podcasts and write us a 5-star review?
Or if you can't do that, you can go on Facebook and leave us a 5-star review.
Ooh, you can.
Yeah.
And you can like write a little review, and you know us, we like to read those on the show.
Yeah, we do. It feeds our ego.
It feeds Amelia's ego.
It feeds Amelia's ego. Amelia can't dance, but she can talk about ghosts.
That's not respected either.
Yeah, he didn't like that either. That's a lot he didn't like about me. All right, so moving on.
You can edit that right out.
I'm keeping it in because he listens. Yeah. Okay, so.
Listen to that.
Okay, so do we have anything else, Beth?
Thanks to Aaron. I can't say his last name. I always screw it up every time.
Thank you so much to Aaron Schilb for recording our music. You can check him out online at TheAaronSchilb on Instagram. So also, I recorded a podcast this week. It's going to come out some point over the next few months, new podcast. It's called Sharing Stories with Allie Beth. And you should go into the iTunes podcast thing and click subscribe to her new podcast. It's all about female empowerment and like women doing things. And I was so delighted and so honored to be asked to come on.
Her episodes are about 15 minutes each. They're all really short, much shorter than ours. And I got to talk a little bit about what I do at work, but a lot about our podcast. So that was really cool and interesting. They were very interested in it, which I was kind of surprised about. So yeah, sharing stories with Ellie Beth. You can find them on the iTunes Apple Podcasts. Also, and I know we keep saying it, we're going to keep saying it out throughout the end of October, Kat Kiernan, a good friend of mine from college, still a very close friend of mine. She has a magazine called Don't Take Pictures. You can check them out online at don'ttakepictures.com. Please go and purchase her latest magazine, which has an article I wrote on haunted museums. Spooky, so spooky. It's called The Museum Issue, if you're scrolling through all the different issues she has out. And just go through and just subscribe to her magazine because it's awesome, and like them on Instagram at Don't Take Pictures. It's a really, really beautiful platform she's created for artists to come and share their work and for people to write. It's beautiful. And she's a great person, and please continue to support small female-owned businesses.
I'd just like to thank my husband, Sean, because he got me out of bed yesterday and today on time because I kind of had to work. It was weird.
God bless him. I think that's all we got for this week, Beth.
Sure. All right.
All right, cool.
Can I contact us out?
Yeah.
All right. You can reach us on Instagram or Facebook, Ghost Hunting in New England. You can reach us on Twitter, Ghost Hunting NE. You can reach us on our website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. Or you can email us, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. Feel free to send us a carrier pigeon to the Somerville Media Center, and we will be happy to respond to your email. If not,
send you a pigeon back. Or a rough grouse.
Or a rough grouse. It won't be stir-fried. Although we may send you a picture of the face that Amelia's dad would make.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening this week, and we hope to see you guys here again soon.
Happy hunting. I wonder what our commercial will be about.
It'll probably be a cool music that I pick.
It'll be about donuts. Pick donut music.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. Something like, I love the donuts.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Strawberry frosted and pumpkin donuts. Yummy. Because it's fall. Not together, though, because that would be gross.
I would love a donut. When I was driving over here, for real, I looked on DoorDash to see if we could get donuts delivered. There were no donut covers.